Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. Hope Still Wins is a place where we get to know thought leaders from diverse backgrounds and differing worldviews to help us feel less alone, more connected, and move us to become a better world together. Each week, I'll be interviewing inspiring and relatable guests in attempts to get to know their hearts, celebrate their stories, and explore the concept of hope to hear how and if it has played a role in their lives. Ultimately, answering the question, does hope still win? If so, why? And if not, why not? This week, I'm sitting down with Christine Kane. Can you believe it? I'm really excited for you all to hear from Christine today because she is someone that I've looked up to for a long time. She has influenced my life and I know many of my friends' lives over the years. Christine is an international speaker, activist, and co-founder of the anti-human trafficking organization A21, and she is an incredible author. In fact, the release of this episode is a big day for Christine because today is also the release of her brand new book, How Did I Get Here? Finding Your Way Back to God When Everything Is Pulling You Away, which we dig into during today's episode. In this episode, we discuss the concept of drifting in our faith and what we can do to get back to being anchored in God's truth. How to move forward when we feel destabilized, which I know is familiar feeling for many of us and myself after last year. How to trust God when we can't trace Him. Also, the growth opportunity that accompanies seasons of waiting, and finally, how life offers two types of pain, the pain of obedience and the pain of regret. Each week in these episodes, we like to ask you, the listener, a question. I invite you to respond on Instagram at Hope Still Wins in the comments or direct message us. We want this to be a conversation that is flowing and ongoing. So after you listen to this week's episode, we ask you to ask yourself this question. How does choosing the pain of obedience look for you in this season, and what is keeping you anchored to that decision? We're really curious to hear your thoughts, so please write us. And now, on to my conversation with the powerhouse, Christine Kane. Well, the one and only Christine Kane is here with us on the Hope Still Wins podcast. Christine, I want to start this by first off saying thank you for coming.
Hey, thanks, Ben. I'm so honored to be on this.
This is a really exciting thing that's going on. That this is like my biggest hope and dream. I worked in a church for a bit, and I was like, I can never work in a church again. That was just too much for me. And so I was like, how do I share my hope for people, my love for God, in a way that I can actually, and I can talk a lot? Like, how do I do it? And so this is like the perfect scenario for me. I've met you before. You wouldn't remember this, and I'm not expecting you to. A few years ago, you spoke in Denver, Colorado, and a friend of mine said, Christine Kane has changed my life for the better, and Ben, will you go with me to hear her speak? And I'm thinking back, I believe it was like a concert, but it was incredible. And the thing that stood out to me at that time was I was sitting next to my friend who was in tears because of not like the celebrity of you, but because of the words and the wisdom and the truth and the vulnerability that you shared. You had changed her for the better. And I just thought, this is like every Christine, I'm sure you hear it a lot, but every person should hear that when that happens, that your life is making a huge impact.
You know, Ben, you made my day. That is why I do what I do. Like when you say that your friend's life was like dramatically impacted, you know, I come from such a background of brokenness. The fact that God could redeem my life and then use the pain of my past and what he's done in it to give other people a future. That's what gets me out of bed to keep. I mean, I've been, you know, doing this for over 3 decades, and it's people's lives being changed, which is the thing that keeps me doing what I'm doing.
And it's working. And that's where I want to start this. At what point did you say, I want to take this brokenness and use it for good? And then how did you even figure out what that good was?
Yeah, great question. And I, you know, you have to know that it was God, it was Jesus that touched my life and he called me. So it wasn't like I woke up one day and went, oh, this is a great career path. What happened was Jesus called me. I mean, I could tell you there was, when I got saved, Ben, I got saved. I'm one of those old school men. I had a radical encounter with Jesus. And I was in my early 20s when someone invited me to church, and then I was all in. I was that person. I was like, when I was in, I was all in. And during my path of like being in church and reading the Bible, I really began to just, the fact is, I would just talk to anyone I met about Jesus. So, I feel like now all that people do is give me a microphone and shove it in front of my mouth to do what I do anyway. Like, I mean, I was the person bringing everyone to church. I was the person, you wouldn't have wanted to go out to dinner with me because I would just not even be focused on us. I'd be at other tables talking about what God had done. And there was this obvious thing on my life that when I shared with people about what Jesus had done for me and what he could do for them, that people would respond. I mean, this is like before I ever did anything. And then over time, I remember one day my pastor was like, literally, Chris, you know, you bring so many people to church, come up here and tell people. It was like literally, you know, one of those, like, just come up here. And I just then ended up doing on a platform what I was already doing off the platform. And I could pretty much tell you for the last three decades, that's what it's like. Now, when it comes to helping to rescue the victims of human trafficking and what we do with to empower women, you know, here I was, the kid that was left in a hospital, unnamed and unwanted. I mean, my birth certificate does not have a name on it. It says child's name, unnamed, number 2508 of 1966. And, you know, I was the victim of sexual abuse for many, many years as a young child. So, you know, I had all the things against me of why you shouldn't be doing anything, you know, in life, really. And God took all the broken pieces of my past, abandonment, abuse, adoption, rejection, shame, guilt, condemnation, all the stuff that should have wiped me out. Jesus not only healed and saved me, but then he's like, you know what, Chris, I'm going to use you. I never waste a hurt. I'm going to use all of the broken pieces of your past. And not only am I going to rescue you, but now I'm going to use you to rescue others. And as we rescue the victims of sex trafficking and human trafficking, here are people that have been abused and marginalized and hurt. I mean, that could have been me, but I am living proof that Jesus Christ can rescue and restore and redeem you. And so three decades later, Ben, I'm nearly 55 now. I am as passionate as I ever was, if not more so. I'm more full on. I mean, this thing is real. So anyway, that's what keeps me going.
That's incredible, right? I mean, the A21 campaign is absolutely awesome. And it is something to follow. You come in contact with a lot of people who are hurting. You're able to relate with them and come from a place of empathy and come from a place of respect and say, hey, I want to be with you through this. Two questions there. One, and you kind of mentioned it, but I'd love to dig into it a little bit deeper. How do you stay energized in those moments that feel so heavy at times? And two, when you enter into those moments with these individuals, these beautiful human people, what perspective do you take into those interactions?
Yeah, well, you know, for me always, I come from the bottom line foundation that every single human being is created in the image of God. So every single human being has dignity. Every human being has value. Every human being has worth. And so to me, when you come in and you truly value people, you truly esteem people, and you truly love people, then you can speak to them from that place. And I think because, of course, I haven't gone through what so many of these survivors have gone through to that extreme. But I definitely have, my heart will always have great compassion and empathy for anyone that's been abused or hurt or marginalized. And so what keeps me fueled, Ben, at the end of the day, after three decades and, you know, almost 15 years of frontline work with anti-human trafficking work, is my relationship with God. If I did not have faith in a God bigger than me, and in the truth of the Bible, and if I didn't have a hope in Jesus, I don't think I could keep going. And there is such a high turnover in this kind of work. There's a lot of compassion fatigue. There's a lot of burnout because, I mean, when you are on the front lines with that kind of brokenness and that kind of hurt, yeah, it's extremely draining. So if you don't have places to replenish, and it's not just, I mean, I have a wonderful team, but we are very committed to ongoing support of all of our frontline workers, you know, counseling, therapy, checking in with them, making sure physically, emotionally, spiritually, everyone is strong. You've got, you bring your whole self into this thing. So you've got to look after your whole self. And so to me, I don't want to get overwhelmed by the enormity of the issue. The issue is a big issue. 40 million people are trapped in slavery today. If I focus on the 40 million, I could easily get overwhelmed and lose hope. But if I focus on every one that we rescue, that gives me hope.
And it's working. It's happening, right? But there's a huge thing out there, a huge injustice that so many people maybe don't even know of. And so if we have somebody that's listening right now and saying, how can I help? What can I do, right? Maybe somebody that has is just learning about the issues of human trafficking right now for the first time.
Okay, I would say to anyone, I have a list of 21 things you can do today that is going to help in this cause. I'm not, you know, when we started this, I just didn't want to frustrate people because there's nothing worse than telling people of the enormity of the problem or just how bad it is without giving people practical tools on saying, this is what you can actually do wherever you are on the spectrum, whether you have money, whether you don't have money, whether you have skills or you don't think you've got any skills. Here's 21 things you can do today. That's a great start. We have got unbelievable videos on there. There's so much education. There's so much training. Educating yourself is a big thing, but we've done all the hard work for you. That website is probably one of the most comprehensive websites you're going to find and user-friendly websites on trafficking. So a21.org.
Well, I encourage everybody to go out there and check it out. I want to switch to a second, Christine, because you do have a book that is awesome. How did I get here? I want to read for a second the back, just a little bit of the back, because it's going to set up the conversation. We've all been, this is what it says, we've all at some point looked up from the daily grind and realized we had somehow drifted off course. Maybe we've been doing all the right Christian things and saying all the right Christian words, but inside we know something is just a bit off. Like we've run out of energy, vision, passion, and feel unable to move forward. The question we're pondering is not only how did I get here, but also what do I do now? I read that in preparation, and it's just that right there is a question. Actually, today I had one of my employees call me and they said, hey, Ben, I have this huge life moment. I'm figuring out what's wrong with me. And I was like, well, tell me more. They said, I've been missing the mark. I've been living in this place. There's so much chaos. There's so many things changing. And I've been living in this place of just feeling sorry and just feeling like bad for myself that I've never allowed myself to move forward, to move beyond. And I sat down, I read the book a couple days ago, and then I sat down about an hour ago and just read that. And I was like, this is pointing to I need to send this book to her right now. So the people out there that are going, this just feels like it hit home for me. Christine's putting words to things I'm feeling. How do we move forward in the midst of chaos? How do we move forward in the midst of everything changing so fast it feels like right now?
Oh, yeah, apps. And welcome to the world we're living in, and it ain't going to change. It's like the currents have shifted, to say the least, and they're shifting every day. Like you wake up every day and you go, I thought the goalposts were there, and they've just moved. It's just like every day, I think, whether it's your friend, you know, whether it's younger people, older people, you know, it's not just a millennial thing. It's a Gen X thing. It's a boomer thing. It's a Gen Z thing. Everybody is feeling the shift. And, you know, Ben, when I was young, my dad used to take us to the beach in Australia. There's a beach called Umina. I never asked you, have you ever been to Australia?
No, I need to. I need to.
Man, it's awesome. Okay, so he'd take us to Umina Beach. And there was the biggest rip, like undercurrent in that. It was crazy. So he'd put up like an umbrella on one side, really big, bright beach umbrella, and then all these towels. And he would say to us all the time, when you're out there, the rip tide is so strong, it's going to drag you out, whether you realize it or not. And he goes, so I need you to look up and check your markers regularly. If you don't check these two markers, you're going to drift. And all you have to do to drift is nothing. And this is where we're at in life right now. The current underneath us is shifting all the time. Every segment of society has been impacted: political, environmental, social, economic, morality. I mean, name it. Everything is just shifting. And with technology and just coming out of a global pandemic, life is crazy. And so a lot of people are like, man, I just cannot cut the wind, the storm, the waves, the chaos. Well, the thing that we got to do is check our markers. So number one, you got to decide what are my markers, and you've got to check your anchor. And so the thing is, a lot of us, what we're discovering in this moment is that we are not anchored. You know, that we are just drifting. I go out with my husband, he loves to boat. And this one day he goes, Chris, you know, throw the anchor over, can throw the anchor out. So I just like threw it, and then I went back to sunbaking. And then about 30 minutes later, like we hear this bang, like we hit this other little boat in the, you know, just there in the bay. And Nick's like, Chris, I told you, you know, drop anchor. I said, I did. And he goes, did you set the anchor on the seabed? I went, oh, I didn't realize it. And I think what a lot of us have done is we're forgetting to set our anchor. And, you know, every time the current changes, when you're on a boat, you've got to check that thing all the time and reset the anchor. And what we're discovering is that we perhaps were not as anchored as we thought we were, or we were anchored in the wrong things. Our hopes, the Bible says that Jesus is this hope we have as an anchor for our soul. Well, in this world, I think people are discovering, man, I was anchored in the wrong thing. It could have been money. It could have been sex. It could have been drugs. It could have been a career. It could have been, you know, just whatever. And we were trying to get our significance, our security, our value, our esteem from people or things. And then this global pandemic hits, levels the playing field, and everyone's like, man, I feel destabilized. And we got to check our anchor and check the links that are keeping us attached to the anchor. And I think what we're discovering is a lot of people have drifted because they were anchored to the wrong thing and it couldn't hold when the storm came.
So how do we make sure that we are anchored? So how do we make sure that we don't drift, that we're not shaken when things are disorienting and when chaos ensues and things are ripped away from us? How do we make sure?
That's why I wrote the book, because, you know, I think you hit that. You know, I mean, I covered so many things in here. Things that oftentimes we may have rolled our eyes at, and I'm hoping that I've presented it in a way to say, listen, I've been following Jesus for 3 decades. I've been through a lot of storms with Jesus. I've come through a lot of pain and struggle, and God has been unbelievable in my life, but it hasn't been just an easy thing. I've had to check my markers. And when I wrote the 9 chapters of when I'm like, here it is, whether it's staying anchored in the word, staying anchored in community, having great friends, what is it to trust God? What does prayer really mean? Like some of these things that I've discovered even in this last year are so important. You know, when people like me could get to a place where I felt I had drifted, not away from God, but drifted away from my purpose. You know, we're living in such a crazy time. When you get hit, there was a time, and the book really came out of this a couple of years ago. My mum died, my sister-in-law, who's my age, died, my husband's sister died, my husband's brother-in-law died. And we're living here in America. This is all happening in Australia. So emotionally, this is a big deal. And, you know, I got, it triggered a lot of issues for me, of my biological mother, my adopted mother, just a lot of stuff. And we all have that. We have that emotional stuff that triggers stuff in our life. At the same time, I had experienced this personal betrayal from a friend that just really cut me deep. And, you know, in the last couple of years, who hasn't gone through a lot of friendship ups and downs? It's been a big season of that. And then just, you know, normal drama happening in work and in life. And there was there were so many changes. If you're kind of, you know, any kind of public figure like you, people have always got an opinion about how you should be living your life, or, you know, there's so many causes out there. People think you should be talking about this thing, or you're not talking enough about this thing, or you're talking too much. I mean, people you don't even know have got opinions about your life. And I just came to this place when I'm thinking, who would want this? like, you know, I think I might just, I'm Greek. I might just go to get a taverna on the Greek island of Santorini and just, you know, like sit down and watch the sunset over the volcano. And, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life. And I just, to be honest with you, my drift was more like, if I just take my foot off the gas, I've got enough momentum, 30 years of doing this, it's going to be okay. I don't want to go do anything bad. I just don't want to keep going all in. There was this moment that I had, like, and that was where it all came out of, how did I get here? When I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how did I get here? And if I got here, no wonder, you know, there are so many people drifting in a whole lot of different ways, maybe drifting away from their faith period, or drifting in their relationships, or drifting in their purpose. I mean, you know, the drift, but all you have to do to drift is nothing. That's all you got to do. So to me, what I realized was, I had taken my foot off the gas a bit. So I wasn't doing anything bad, but I also wasn't doing all that I could be doing. So to my thing was like, to get back on track was like, okay, put your foot back on the accelerator and, you know, deal with the stuff, deal with the emotional stuff, go to God with this is like the stuff that keeps you anchored. Own the stuff that's rocking your inner world right now, and decide that you're not going to let other people decide and determine your purpose, but God's going to determine your purpose and you're going to stay on track.
I was reminded yesterday, because I came out of the book in February, and I was reminded yesterday, I was on an interview, and the person said, they asked me, why'd you write this book? And luckily I had gotten some good advice because it was true. But my response, and the response that I think when I read, how did I get here? It, even more than Alone in Plain Sight, my book, I felt like this was your response. It's you didn't write this book because you wanted to. You wrote it because you had to. This felt like, in a sense, like when I read it, it was like, no, like Christine's just like feeling this right now, and she's like, I think somebody else. I would imagine somebody else is maybe feeling it too.
Absolutely, and that's where, I mean, you'll see it is profoundly personal, and it was very costly, because it was a very painful sort of the tail end of 2016, 2017 was the most painful season of my life. I think for a lot of people right now, I mean, you know, and then I think almost in a sense, God let me go through it then, because a lot of people are going through so much right now. You know, I think by the time I got to the global pandemic, I'm like, this is okay compared to what I've just come out of. It was like, you know, but I think that sense of drift that comes from when you're feeling destabilized, and everybody's world has been rocked right now, everybody's world. And this is what I have found, Ben, Jesus holds. I mean, he is the anchor. That is the bottom. And we need practical tools on how do I stay connected to the anchor. You know, before we go out boating, my husband, he checks the anchor. He checks the links in the chain, because, as you know, and to make sure, because if a link is broken, you can drop the anchor overboard, but you're going to lose the anchor. You're not going to be connected to it. And I think what's happened is this is really why I wrote the book. This is a season where we need to check our links, man, and go, are we really anchored? Are we connected to Christ? Are we really firmly anchored? Because the world has gone cray-cray. But, you know, just because everyone around you has gone cray-cray doesn't mean you have to. You can stay anchored. You can stay connected. And I'm sitting here going, at 55, you know, the kid that was left in a hospital unnamed and unwanted, the kid that went through abuse, and now a 55-year-old mother of teenagers that's gone through life. I can tell you this much. I've gone through a lot, but Jesus holds. This thing's real.
So for the person out there going, this is like a breath of fresh air, they're feeling this and they're hearing this, and then as soon as they stop listening to this, it's going to take them a few minutes, because I'm that person, and I work through this often in my life. All of a sudden you start looking back at the world and you start asking, where is God at? Why God? Like, where are you at? I'm right back. I was feeling great. I'm right back to feeling insignificant. I'm right back to feeling confused. I'm right back to not knowing the next step forward. But I believe in you, Jesus. Like, I believe in you, and I know you're here. You've interacted in my life. I can't doubt that, but I'm struggling because I don't know where you're at. What would you say?
Yeah, that's a good thing. And you know, that's one of the chapters where I talk about, you know, can you trust God when you can't trace him? And this is actually what grows us in our faith. Our generation is like, man, I don't feel you, God, right now, so I'm going to try to control things myself, or I'm going to whatever, you know, binge watch Netflix, pop a pill, have an extra glass of wine, go out, do something just to numb my pain because I'm not feeling God. So we try to control that. And I think what we've got to discover in this generation is this place of silence and solitude where we're okay to be with ourselves and Jesus and go, okay, I trust you, but I can't trace you. So in this moment, am I going to try to control the outcome myself, or am I going to say, Jesus, fill that space between what I'm not feeling and what I know? And you've got to, it all comes back to what you really believe about God. Do you believe that God is good and God does good? Do you believe that God wants to work things all together for your good? And that place of learning to trust him, you can only learn to trust him, bottom line, when you're not getting what you want as quick as you want, when you want it. Because otherwise, you're not really trusting God. He's more like a sugar daddy. And it's like, awesome, he's coming through. And what happens when you've got such an instant generation that, man, I mean, you know, like, I don't want to wait for anything. I'm just going to Uber this. I'm going to, you know, DoorDash this. I'm going to Amazon Prime this. Like, we just like, we don't want to wait for anything. And what we're trying to do is fit God into that modern box that says, I want an app where I could just download what I want right now. And God, if you're real, you're going to bring this through right now. And he's saying, no, I'm teaching you to trust me, and because what I've got for you is better than anything you can give to yourself. Now, that is not easy, especially in this current generation where we are just, we've got our phones in our hands 24/7, man. We've got access to whatever we want 24/7. Now, the truth is we've got access to God 24/7 as well. It's just a lot harder when you can't see him or when he does not seem to be doing something as quickly as we want him to do it. But you'll never grow and you'll never become more like Jesus if you don't give him that space and that place to develop your character. And that comes in the waiting season. In the waiting season, God's working. We just don't like to wait.
And how hard is it to celebrate that waiting season, or how hard is it to sit in that waiting season and trust it? It's, you know, it's so difficult, but I mean, I can speak to this, and I bet everybody out there listening can speak to this. I've only learned things from seasons of waiting and from pains I've experienced.
Yep.
Yeah. In a sense, you got to celebrate, as hard as it is, you almost got to accept it and celebrate it because you know something great is happening.
Totally. And it doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't mean you don't feel the pain. And I think that's what I've really gone to great lengths to say in this book. I'm not saying we bypass it. We would all love to be delivered from the stuff, but Jesus brings us through it more often than not, because it's in the through that we grow, that we become more like Christ. And, you know, I know some young person listening to this going, that's okay for you to say, Chris, you're in your mid-50s, but I'm saying I'm still here. I still love Jesus. I'm still passionate for the cause. And this is the way to life. Like when you've lived as long as me and you see, you know, I've had so many friends through a season of life that didn't stay anchored, that just went, you know what, I'm going to drift off, either do it my way or try to control it, or it's just too hard to stay connected. Well, when you get to my age now, you see the results of that and you go, you know what, you're going to have two kinds of pain in your life. This is the bottom line: the pain of obedience or the pain of regret. And the bigger pain is the pain of regret. So have I gone through pain? Yes. Say my friends that drifted, did they go through pain? Yes. But my pain of obedience was far less than the pain of regret that I see them living today.
Again, along with the A21 campaign and then the book, How Did I Get Here? Two incredible things of many that you've put out there into the world. Thank you for that. Before I ask my final question to you, I did make one quick commitment to a friend of mine, my best friend in the world. Because there was a statement you made, and if you're not prepared to speak on it, that's fine. Just say so. But there was a statement that you made when you did come to Denver that they said changed their life forever. You said that evil is still tricking us or manipulating us in the same way that it started with Eve. And they said that has rang true in their life every moment of every day since you said that. That's helped encourage, inspire, and push them through and know to battle. In a sense, like I would call it like a battle to say, no, I'm not going to let this have a stronghold on me. Do you mind speaking to that for 1 second before we close here?
I love that. And I love that you love your friend so much, which is so awesome. But my bottom line is that we've got to remember, you know, right from the Garden of Eden, in chapter 3, when the enemy comes into the garden, the very first question the enemy asks is, did God really say? Did God really say? And that undermining the authority of God's word, the goodness of God, the character of God, that is still the same thing that rings true today. And ultimately, we've got to never forget that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and principalities. I think sometimes because we kind of got this picture of like, you know, this devil in a red suit with two little horns up here and a pitchfork, and we go, man, that's all crazy stuff. We forget there is a real enemy of our soul. And the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundant. Now, you know, you can look at my life in one of two ways. The way I look at it is the enemy had an assignment to try to kill me when I was still in my mother's womb. When that didn't work and I was sexually abused, he wanted to destroy my life and my purpose. And so it was like a war in the heavenlies from the time of my conception, because God had a plan and a purpose. And, you know, whether it's rescuing the victims of human trafficking, helping to empower women to do what I do. And if you don't wake up every day and do what Ephesians 6 says, which is to put on the full armor of God and to understand we're in a spiritual battle, the enemy will want to take you out. The enemy will want you to drift. And if you do not believe that there's a supernatural realm with a supernatural enemy, I promise you, you will be taken out because the enemy hates our guts. And God loves us and God's got a plan for us. And you know what? There is nothing more potent than a believer that knows who they are in Christ, that knows how to do spiritual warfare. Yeah, let me just tell you, Ben, every time we put a trafficker in jail or we save someone from human trafficking, I think, you know what, devil, you can stick that in your pipe and you can smoke it. I bet you wish you left me alone. I bet you wish you never came after me, because I feel like Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when after his brothers had thrown him into a pit, sold him into slavery, and then he was in prison. Now suddenly he's the second in charge of the whole country and he's got to give them food to keep them alive. And they're freaking out thinking he's going to kill them. And he says, nah, you meant this for evil against me, but God meant it for this very purpose, to save many people alive. And I think, you know what? What the enemy meant to destroy my life with, by God's grace, God's turned it all around. And he's using it for his great glory now.
Absolutely awesome. Well, final question. Christine, do you believe that hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not?
Yes, I do. And the reason is, you go, why? If I didn't, I wouldn't be trying to rescue the victims of human trafficking and I wouldn't be sitting here smiling today. But the fact is, ultimately, hope wins because Jesus is this hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both firm and secure. And Jesus Christ has already won. He rose from the dead. He defeated hell. He defeated death. He is coming back again. And so, you know, once you've read the end of the book and you know that he's already won, you can get up every day and yes, there are storms. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there is pain and grief and loss and suffering. I'm not minimizing it. I'm not dismissing it. I'm not denying it. But because Jesus is our ultimate hope and he has already won, I can confront every day from a place of victory. I already am on the winning team. So I can bring all of heaven to earth. You know, we pray, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. So we can bring a taste of that hope here on earth. And so that's what gives me ultimate hope. That's what gets me out of bed every day. And that's what keeps me going. And on top of all of that, I do remember now where we met. It was on an outreach tour. I was doing an outcry tour. And that was where I met you.
That is exactly right. It was the outcry tour. Right. Thank you for remembering that. I didn't remember the name either, but I just remember being there and being captivated by all the great things that you're doing and the energy that you bring to it. Christine Kane, thank you for joining the Hope Still Wins podcast. It means so much to me and the team and so many. And also make sure if you're listening and if this related with you at all, and I'm assuming it did, How Did I Get Here by Christine Kane. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Ben. It was my honor.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's conversation of Hope Still Wins. If you haven't already, please subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoyed this conversation, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple and join the community over on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. As a reminder, our question from this episode is, how does choosing the pain of obedience look for you in this season, and what is keeping you anchored to that decision? The team and I would love to hear your answers. We invite you to join us on Instagram to share your thoughts and continue the conversation. We'll be choosing a few of the responses to share in a later episode. All right, well, that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again for tuning in to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins, and I'll see you next week.